The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And a good evening, everybody. It's Sports Talk 1240 right here on AM 1240. Jake Asman alongside Dan Budick taking you until 10 p.m. We're on for an hour. We have a lot to talk about. The J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets found a way at MetLife Stadium this afternoon to get it done. First off, hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas. For those who celebrate, happy holidays to everyone. But, Dan, the Jets get arguably, I was just thinking about this, their biggest win in franchise history at MetLife Stadium since it opened in 2010. What a win today for the Jets. They needed it. And now, with the Ravens taking down Pittsburgh, somehow, someway, the Jets are in control over their own destiny. Win next week against Rex Ryan and the Bills in Buffalo, and the Jets at 11-5, winners of six straight, if they get it done next week, are going back to the postseason for the first time since 2010.
And the Jets really played well today. I mean, they really dominated this game on all phases. But, you know, the Patriots are the Patriots. They came back, made it a game, tied the game at 20, and the Jets obviously won it in the fashion they did in overtime. But you talked about the Steelers falling to the Ravens. That's the biggest gift of all, because we knew that if the Jets won out and they didn't get some losses either from the Steelers, the Chiefs, or a game tomorrow night, the Broncos, you know, it would be all for nothing, but they got the win, and they got the loss to the Steelers from the Steelers by the Ravens, which was used a 4-win team, and the Ravens beating the Steelers
10.5 point underdog,
10.5 point dogs, and the Jets really got a break, and because of it, they're in control of their own destiny next week. Rex Ryan in Buffalo, and I think, you know, what a better way to end the season, or what a storybook way to end the season with Rex leaving last year, how he got let go, and all of the story with Idzik, to now the Jets final step to the playoffs is going to go through Buffalo and Rex Ryan.
And, you know, we talked about this off the air a lot. I always felt if the Jets found a way to get to 11 wins, they'd somehow get in. It's only happened twice. The 85 Broncos and obviously the Patriots back in 2008, where you've had teams that won at least 11 games and haven't made
it's
the
crazy.
Playoffs.
It's crazy.
You know, if the Jets find a way, they deserve to go to the playoffs. But I did not think, if you told me going into today, that out of the three teams that needed to lose, whether it's Denver tomorrow night, we'll find out their fate, but Pittsburgh or Kansas City, which team do you think is most likely to lose? I would have put Pittsburgh last. They're playing the Baltimore Ravens, especially with the way Pittsburgh was able to come back and beat Denver last week. So I couldn't believe the Ravens won, but the Jets today did what they had to do. They found a way. They're up 17-3. Somehow you knew the Patriots were coming back. They get the Jamie Collins fumble recovery for the touchdown. Fitzpatrick did not play well in that fourth quarter. No one on offense really did for the Jets. But when they needed to make a play in overtime, aided by Bill Belichick and his decision to kick off, and we'll certainly get to that, the Jets found a way in overtime today. They win 26-20. Eric Decker, three catches, his biggest one on the game winner. Quincy Enunwa, can't talk enough about him. He overcame the 51-yard. It wasn't a drop, but it was a ball he could have had. And if they lose that game, we're talking about that bomb down the sideline that Enunwa had in his fingertips that goes incomplete. Jets end up having to go to overtime. And on the second play of OT on 2nd and 8, you had the 48-yard catch and run by Quincy Enunwa. Completely changed the game, gave him redemption. And the Jets found a way in overtime. I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. I thought when they were up 17-3, they were going to win the game. They tied it up at 20. They stopped and Gronk the whole game. 4th and 9, they convert Dan. But at the end of the day, the Jets made enough plays. And in overtime, they found a way to get it done on the opening drive.
Well, they found a way to get it done. And I think we talked about, and you just brought it up, the decision by Bill Belichick to kick it off to the Jets, the confusion there by the Patriots to the Jets. And I think one thing you really look at is the fact that the Jets not only got the ball to start overtime, but they weren't going to let Tom Brady beat them. All they were going to do was keep the ball on the field, keep it in their hands, and score a touchdown, which is what they needed to do. They didn't settle for the field goal, and they jumped right in front and scored a touchdown to win the game on their first drive. And I think that was just a really uncharacteristic, like, for the Jets to drive down the field and score like that on the opening drive from overtime. But obviously you take it. 17-3, you thought, the Jets look in good shape here, but you knew the Patriots were going to come back at some point. And they come back, tie the game up at 20, and just a crazy decision by Bill Belichick to kick it away you know, whether he did mean to kick it away. I really think that, you know, Slater miscommunicated, didn't really had a brain fart like Kirk Cousins had last night for the Redskins, just said kick it away. And I think Bill Belichick was just covering up for him. I can't understand, and trying to protect his player, I think he was. I can't understand why you would ever kick it off in that situation when you have the best quarterback in football history ever, Tom Brady, four-time Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP, and why would you kick it off? It makes no sense. There's no way, I'm telling you, there's no way Bill Belichick wanted to kick it away. He wanted the ball and to win the game. There's no way he wanted to kick it away. I think Slater misinterpreted and had a brain fart and said kick it away. That's the only thing I could think of.
Regardless, it doesn't even matter because of Belichick after the game, he's saying that that's what they wanted to do. It made
I think he's
sense.
Protecting his player.
Either way, it's a dumb decision.
It's a dumb decision.
Let's say he wanted them to do that.
It's a dumb decision.
It makes no sense. You have Tom Brady. You just scored on your previous drive. You went right down the field.
You have all the momentum. You have all the momentum.
You get the ball first. The Jets might not get the ball back the way Tom Brady was starting to heat up at the end of that fourth quarter. Gronkowski, who hadn't found the end zone, was just about to. Came up with a big 4th-and-9 catch to keep the drive going before they had the James White touchdown. You know, if you're the New England Patriots, that's a bonehead decision. Whether or not they wanted to do it or not, somebody screwed up there because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and the numbers back it up. ESPN put out a study that said there's about a 7.9% chance of you losing the game by kicking it away instead of deciding to receive when they won the kickoff. So it didn't make sense either way. It gave the Jets a second chance, gave Quincy a none of redemption with that big catch, Brandon Marshall the catch right before that one. Bing, bing, boom, they found Decker open in the end zone. Decker was covered all day very well by Butler, but Malcolm Butler got beat by Decker when it mattered the most. Decker had a great route, got open. Fitz put that ball on the money, and Ryan Fitzpatrick today, 296, 3 touchdowns, 26 of 41 after a slow start. He tied Testaverde's record of 29 passing touchdowns. I mean, the Jets did what they had to do today against an outstanding team. We could put away the logic of, oh, they haven't beaten a real team. They haven't beaten a team with a winning record. The New England Patriots were 12-2. I know they have injuries, but that's not an excuse. They're not a JV football team, as some on Twitter were trying to make it out there. They beat Tom Brady today. They hit him. They got to him. They did what they had to do, and the Jets got their most improbable win at home in the history of MetLife Stadium.
Absolutely, and I think it was a game the Jets had to have, and we talked about it. If the Jets were going to go to the playoffs at this point, they had to find a way to win today and try to get help. They got the help, and they got the win in overtime. It was a huge win, and, you know, we've watched a lot of Bill Belichick coach Patriot teams over the years just because we're Jet fans and we watch a lot of the AFC East. And I don't think I've ever seen Belichick and the Patriots more conservative than they were today. At the end of the half, not trying to score points, running out the clock.
Minute
and then
53,
at the end of,
two
the
timeouts.
End of regulation, a minute 50, the end of regulation, a minute 55, what was it, minute 55, minute 53, minute 55 to go, two timeouts. And they're kneeling the ball. They don't want to. They don't want
to do it. That was in the first half. The minute 53 and two timeouts.
Then what was it? A minute and change at the end of the fourth quarter.
They were conservative.
There was plenty of time on the clock. There was a minute 33 to go at halftime, and they decided to sit on it and go to halftime and were complacent, being down 10-3 at halftime. And then at the end of the fourth quarter, there was plenty of time on the clock for Tommy Brady, who's made a career of coming back in the fourth quarter with no time on the clock. Plus, they had two timeouts in their pocket, and they sat on the football. I was shocked. I thought for sure the Jets left too much time. There was too much time. They went three and out, and I said, they got the ball back after the Patriots tied it. They went three and out, and I said, you know what? They just left Tom Brady too much time on the
25
clock.
25 seconds. They had 25 seconds, and they just decided to
Well, they had 25 seconds and two timeouts.
Yeah, and they just decided to
And they decided to sit on it.
Yeah, and not go for a field goal. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me
is their Patriots. I think that's crazy. Why not try to go for it?
It's more crazy.
Why sit on the ball with two timeouts in your pocket?
Well, at that point with 25 seconds, you'd rather go to overtime and you'll have the momentum. But in the first half, I didn't understand it because it was a minute 53.
I thought both was very uncharacteristic of
the Patriots
team.
The first half especially is uncharacteristic. A minute 53, two timeouts.
And you're down by a touchdown.
You're down at the time to the Jets, and you're taking a knee? I mean, you have Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Throw the ball downfield, you'll probably get a flag the way the NFL is currently constituted these days and the way it's officiated. I couldn't understand that either. The Patriots were uncharacteristically
conservative today.
And it was to the Jets' benefit because at the end of the day, the Jets, they made some mistakes, but they were dominating this football game. Then the turnover happens with Fitzpatrick on the fumble. Collins picks it up. All of a sudden,
it's
a
new
ball
game. It's a new game.
But I'll tell you what impressed me about the Jets today was after that turnover, they went down the field and Bullock hit a 49-yard field goal. The Jets special teams today did a nice job. No big hiccups on punt returns, on kickoffs. They covered those well. Randy Bullock was 2 out of 2 on field goals. Even Ryan Quigley, who we've been both very hard on, had a couple of nice punts today. The Jets special teams and the turnovers, which we thought could doom them today, they came up big when they had to. Only that one turnover to Collins. Fitz, once again, another game, no interception, and that's what you have to do if you're the Jets. Ryan Fitzpatrick's had a phenomenal year. This Jets defense brought it today for most of the game, and in overtime when the game was on the line, they came up with the plays. They found a way to get it done, and it's like we always said. If I said to you at the beginning of the year, you have one game in Buffalo to go to the playoffs, we'd all would have signed up for that coming off a 4-12 season. Jets are one win away from going back to the playoffs.
I just can't believe that the Patriots sat on the ball at the end of the half, and it's, even with 25 seconds to go, they had two timeouts, plenty of time to move down the field and try to score and try to hit a field goal instead of forcing the game into overtime. I just think very uncharacteristic, especially in the first half, a minute 33 to go, sitting on the ball when there was clearly enough time. Obviously, we've seen Tommy Brady to get down the field and kick a field goal. There was plenty of time on the clock. Patriots very conservative today and very conservative on third down today. 1 of 10 on third down, 10% for the Patriots. That's uncharacteristic of a Patriots team. You talk about the New England Patriots offense. You're talking about a very efficient football team on third down. The Jets did a great job defensively when it came to stopping the Patriots on third down.
They really missed, obviously, Julian Edelman. They missed Danny Amendola. And Gronk, 4 for 86. He always scores against the Jets. He had 11 catches against them last time. They held him to only 4 catches on 6 targets. And obviously,
and 2 of those catches were in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and a lot of that was, of course, they had a lot of special attention paid to Gronk because of the injuries to the New England. But the Jets had to win this game. It meant more to them. They were at home. They should have won the Week 7 matchup, and they found a way to get it done. I was so impressed with Brandon Marshall. Before we open up the phone lines at 631-888-8811, Brandon Marshall today, Dan, 8 catches, 115 yards.
He's great. He's been great all year.
2 touchdowns, and he became today the first player in NFL history to have 6 seasons of 100 catches. Incredible. He overcame the Week 7 drop against the Patriots that a lot of people harped on into this game. We talked about redemption with Anunua. How about Brandon Marshall? Came up big when it mattered the most. Even on the overtime drive, he had a couple receptions. Today he broke Altoon's reception record. And Brandon Marshall is just 55 yards away from breaking the Jets' single-season receiving record and a touchdown from tying the Jets' receiving record as well. So Brandon Marshall's having one of the best seasons in Jets' wide receiver history. Tremendous all day long, and when they needed him the most, he was there, and so was Eric Decker, as they were throughout the course of this entire season.
So the Jets beat the Patriots 26-20 in overtime at MetLife Stadium. We're going to open up the phone lines. We want to hear from you here on WGBB. What's going on?
How's it going, guys?
Good. What's going on? What's on your mind?
I just want to talk a little bit about the big Jets win today, guys. How do you feel about it?
We opened up the show, obviously, talking about it. It was a great win. It was a win the Jets had to have. And, you know, you talk about a Patriots team came back from 17-3, and the Jets just were resilient. Offensively, I thought they ran the ball pretty well. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, outside of that fourth quarter, you talk about in overtime, a lot of pressure on him. Jets get the ball first. They drive, boom, 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 right down the field. And, obviously, he caps it off with that touchdown pass to Eric Decker to win the game. You got to love it if you're a Jet fan, and it sets up that a great Week 17 matchup. Rex Ryan, Todd Bowles, the Jets and the Bills from Ralph Wilson Stadium, and Jets playoff trip is on the line. It's going to be great.
Now, Dan, I just want to ask one quick question.
Sure, what's
up? I just
want
to ask you one quick question. I heard a rumor that Jose Canseco tweeted at you earlier today. Can you explain this, confirm or deny it, and shed a little light on the situation?
Jose Canseco did tweet at me. I tweeted something and tagged him in it, and he actually responded. I was honored. It was an honor and a privilege to be tweeted at by such a phenomenal man and a great scholar.
The master of the steroid operation in the late 1990s, of course, Jose Canseco. Thanks for the call, Jake.
Thanks, guys.
And how do we feel about the Jets win? I mean, my goodness, how do you not feel great about this Jets win?
It was a great win.
I mean,
it was just a great win.
You look at the circumstances. The Jets at 5-5. We all thought they were dead after the Houston game. You know, I didn't think they'd have, you know, to win 6 straight to get in. I thought they could still turn the season around. But as the season continued, you started to realize that, hey, if the Jets wanted to get in, they're going to have to run the table with what Kansas City's been doing after they started 1-5. You know, they've won 9 straight football games, and they're at 10-6 as well, or 10-5, excuse me. They won again today. You look at Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh had to come back to the rest of the pack, and now they have big time, and now they're behind the pack, behind the Jets. After they lost to the Ravens today, you know, things broke right for the Jets, and we thought they would if they got to 11 wins. But I did not think, after being 5-5, this team was capable of rattling off five straight wins to get to 10-5. If you would have told me back in November, we were on the air that night after the Jets lost to the Texans right here on WGBB, that the Jets would then win five straight and we'd be sitting here over a month later, one win away from getting in the postseason, you know, I would think maybe, but I wouldn't really believe you.
Well, what
that they would have to win out to get in, well, they'd be able to do it.
Well, what a whirlwind season for the Jets, really. I mean, here they start off the season, first five games, they're 4-1. You're thinking, 4-1? You got some easy games coming up, Houston, you know, this team, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, you could be talking about an 11-5 season for the Jets and a cakewalk to the playoffs. Next thing you know, they're 5-5, and you're saying at that point, well, you might have to run the table to get into the playoffs. And they run the table, at least up to this point, put themselves in a position at 10-5 where the division, where a playoff spot is on the line next week. It's really been a whirlwind season for the Jets. They had the highest of highs early in the season, starting off 4-1. Really just everything was going their way. Remember how good they were playing? I mean, they were playing so good, the Jets, through 5 weeks of the season. And then they go into a tail, they go into a spiral down where it's 5-5, and we think, well, did this Jets team peak early? Is this it? They're calling into a downward spiral now at 5-5. They buried themselves into the pack
well,
of the,
we thought it was
of the in the hunt cat. They buried themselves
this,
into the in the hunt category.
In the hunt,
they were at the bottom of the table, and it seemed like, not this season for the Jets. They wasted a good opportunity. And what do? They win five in a row, which is unprecedented for a Jets team, really, to win five straight games. Nevertheless, cap it off today with a great win over the New England Patriots in overtime. You got to love it. It really has been a tale of three seasons for the Jets. The beginning of the season where they started off really hot. The middle of the season where they were really, I mean, they couldn't buy a win in midway through the season, losing 4 out of 5. And now rattling off five straight wins.
They lost to the Jaguars.
Right, that should have been a loss too. And here they rattle five straight wins. So it's really been a tale of three 5 week instances for the Jets. It really has been. Great first 5 weeks, bad middle 5 weeks, and then the last 5 weeks have been tremendous.
And now they can culminate the whole thing and get back to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years if they win on Sunday against the Bills. I can't believe they won this game today. I could believe it in the sense I feel good about it, but we've seen the script so many times. Jets leading against the Pats. Patriots come back in the fourth quarter, stun the Jets, we're angry, and we go over 1,000 things the Jets could have done better today. Instead, when it was 2020, they're going to overtime. The Jets never gave the ball back to Brady. They got the ball,
well, that was
and
great.
They went down the field
don't
to score.
Don't give him a chance. You know if he gets the ball in his hands, he's going to score, which that's why I'm so shocked the Patriots, quote-unquote, elected to kick it off.
It makes no sense.
It's just the more you think about it and the more you absorb what happened makes you think there is no way that Bill Belichick consciously was going to kick it off. I think Slater said kick and Bill was backing up his player in the post-game press conference, and the team was backing up his player by saying that was the move. There's no way. It's asinine to do something like that when you have the greatest quarterback arguably to ever play the game who in four plays can put you into field goal range.
He's done it in his own career.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the table was set for the Patriots to win this game at the end. The table was set, and the Patriots just decided to kick it off, and to the Jets' credit, they made the Patriots pay for it.
It's something they haven't been able to do in the past. When the Jets have been gifted opportunities, they don't make teams pay. Well, with Ryan Fitzpatrick and this offense, they've been doing so, and you know, none bigger than an overtime. Tom Brady doesn't get the ball back. Eric Decker scores in the end zone. MetLife Stadium's going crazy, and the Jets get their 10th win in the season. This is a team that only had two meaningful wins at all last year. You know, their wins against the Titans, we were rooting against them last
year.
What's
a meaningful win in a 4-12 season?
They beat Miami the last week of the regular season.
Yeah.
It meant nothing. You know, the Jets started 1-0 last year. They finished 4-12. And they were awful.
They were awful.
Absolutely awful. And you can see my voice starting to go because I was yelling so much during this Jets game today. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Jets from 4 wins to 10 with a chance to go to 11 and back into the playoffs next week. We all would have signed up for it in training camp, and here they are, Dan.
And they're getting, obviously, efficient quarterback play, too. 29 touchdowns to 12 interceptions for Ryan Fitzpatrick, 3,724 yards, 91 quarterback rating. I mean, if he has a great – he could throw for 4,000 yards. If he has a great week next week, he could throw for 4,000 yards. And we could be talking about a Jets quarterback throwing for 4,000 yards.
Just the fact he tied Testaverde's record with 29 touchdowns, you know he's going to break it next week or throw at least one. Ryan Fitzpatrick having one of the best statistical seasons as a Jets quarterback, and it just tells you how inept Jets quarterback play has been in the history of this franchise. But Fitz has came in here and been better than any of us ever could have thought, and he's a big reason, if not one of the main reasons, why the Jets are one win away from going back to the playoffs.
And it just was a great win for the Jets. And I think another aspect of this Jets team I look at, and when you talk about playmakers, out of the running back position, Bilal Powell. How good has Bilal Powell been the last month of the season for the Jets? I had no idea Bilal Powell was as fast as he is. The guy can flat out.
He worked on his speed big time.
It looked like he lost some weight in the offseason. He can move left, right, north, south. He's a factor not only in the passing game and the running game. He's a great blocker. He's improved tremendously blocking. Bilal Powell is becoming a very good NFL running back, and he has added a dimension to the Jets offense that they just don't have with Chris Ivory playing really on a bad knee and a bad hamstring. He's added that element of the screen, catching the ball out of the backfield, back into the Jets' offense.
And one quick tidbit on Bilal Powell, something to note. Chris Ivory went down in this game. He hurt his knee. He came back in. He wasn't very effective. Bilal Powell was their featured back for most of this game today.
And even Ridley chatted off.
Stephen Ridley
runs.
Played well against his former team. Even Kembrel Tompkins, before he went down, he was having a nice day against his former team as well. So the Jets today lost Ivory early, but the unsung hero once again was Bilal Powell. He's been tremendous. You know, it's no coincidence that when the Jets were 5-5, they got back Bilal Powell for the Dolphins game, and that was really the first game where he really, you know, took on this role that we'd never seen from him before as a playmaker. Then against the Giants, he had a touchdown. We know what he did against Dallas. He was great against the Titans as well. Bilal Powell's been a big piece for this Jets offense, and I don't think any of us saw that coming at the beginning of the season.
No, absolutely not. You wouldn't think Bilal Powell would have this big of an impact. And, you know, who knew what you were going to get out of Ryan Fitzpatrick from the quarterback position, honestly? I mean, you give up a 6th-round pick for him, broke his leg last year, and he's had arguably the greatest season a Jets quarterback's ever had. At 29 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. He's been phenomenal. Everything the Jets could have asked for and 10 times more. The Jets have to be happy that they found a quarterback that, you know, is not necessarily the quarterback of the long-term future, but you talk about the next 2 to 3 years, you got to think Ryan Fitzpatrick's their guy.
Why not? He looks like he's only getting better. He's comfortable in his offense. It shows you what happens when you put Brandon Marshall on the outside with Decker. You know, with obviously Tompkins has made plays. Bilal Powell's made plays. Ivory's been good. The Lions protected him. They got some playmakers on this offense. Something as a Jet fan, since I've been watching the Jets, I've never been able to say. 631-888-8811. That's the phone number to get involved. Our next caller is Alex. He's on the line. Alex, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I'm glad you guys are talking Jets. I wanted to get involved a bit. Obviously, a huge win, not just, you know, for the team this year, but for the franchise in general. Any win over Tom Brady in the Patriots is always a meaningful one. I wanted to get into, you know, Slater's decision at the end, and
sure.
As you guys touched on, you know, whether it was a mistake or not, I just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on this theory that I read on Twitter and that's floating around a bit, that Belichick may have heard that the Steelers clinched and decided to kick due to that. Essentially, they'd rather play the Jets than the Steelers in the playoffs.
I can't buy that, Alex. I understand where that's coming from. I think the Patriots, my personal opinion, I think they wanted to receive, and I think Slater had a bit of a brain fart and was thinking one thing and said another thing and said, you know, we want to kick. He said, clear, you could hear him. He said, kick. So, I think Bill and the coaching staff and the players were just backing up Slater, you know, just trying to have his back in the locker room and in the press conference. I can't see a situation to kick it off there. It makes no sense. It's asinine. It is ridiculous. When you have Tom Brady as your quarterback and you have an opportunity to get the ball first in overtime, right after you scored the game-tying touchdown at the end of regulation, you need the football. You want the football. It makes no sense to kick it away. And, you know, if you saw the reaction of Antonio Cromartie when Cleet Blakeman, the official, said, where do you want to receive? He was shocked. I mean, did you see Antonio Cromartie's reaction? He was shocked. He looked at Slater and said, you sure you want to kick? You sure you want to kick?
Yeah, but here's the other side of that theory, though. Let's just say hypothetically, okay, you know, Belichick was covering up for his player and he screwed up. That doesn't even matter, because how do you even know Bill Belichick knew that Pittsburgh had lost to that point?
Oh, I don't buy that.
You can't
that's
buy
I don't
these
buy
theories.
That.
They were trying to win the game. If they didn't care about this game, they would have went for two at the end and said, you know, if we get it, great, we win. If not, we lose.
You
the
know
Patriots
what?
Were trying to win this game, and they got beat by the Jets today. That's what happened at MetLife
and
Stadium.
You know what the thing is, and the thing with the Jets and the Patriots, the Patriots always want to beat the Jets, and obviously the Jets always want
to
beat the Patriots.
They try to run up the score against the Jets any chance they get. Even when the Jets are bad, they try to do that. They were trying to win today, and they're banged up. Every team has injuries, and the Jets at home, found a way to get it done. The Jets could have won the Week 7 game anyway. So let's not act like the Patriots were laying down to the Jets today.
Exactly.
Them
they almost beat them in Week 7. And I was most surprised, Alex, by the fact, like we talked about early on, at the end of the half with a minute 33 to go, the Patriots sat on the football and were content with going into the locker room down 10, down 3. I was even shocked with 30 seconds, 25 seconds on the clock and two timeouts that they didn't take a shot to try to kick a field goal to win the game with Gadkowski, the best kicker in football. I was so shocked the Patriots were so complacent today. And, you know, again, the decision to kick it off, I mean, it will forever be remembered by Jet fans as just a terrible decision. It doesn't happen often that Bill Belichick makes coaching mistakes against the Jets, or that mistakes happen like this against the Jets when you talk about the Patriots. But this one happened, and it will this game will last in Jets lore for a long time. I think it will. This is one of the best regular season Jet victories that I've ever seen. You talk about beating the Patriots in the fashion you did, the fact that you had to beat them. This wasn't a Week 4 game or a Week 9 game.
It was a must win.
This was a Week 16 battle, and the Jets won.
Well, think about MetLife Stadium since it opened. When was the last time the Jets had a game this big at home? You know, you go back to 2009, the last game at the old Giants Stadium, win and win. You know, same situation the Jets had next week. The Jets blew out the Bengals that night. Wasn't even the game. Big win for the Jets in their regular season. But today, the Jets needed the game to keep their playoff hopes alive. Now they control their own destiny. It was a huge regular season win for the Jets. The Patriots, they'll probably be able to get the one seed next week. But, you know, a lot of Patriots fans are going, oh, you know, we didn't need this game. You know, Bill Belichick understood. I mean, all
that's
these scenarios,
garbage.
It's garbage.
They want to win the game.
Any Patriots fan saying that, you know, is obviously told that, you know, that they had the chance to clinch up field today, you know, and potentially rest their big guys next week, which is always a luxury. You know, the thing is, obviously you guys are happy with this win. Do you see, how confident do you feel in a January game in Foxborough with, you know, Amendola, potentially Edelman, Chung, McCourty all back?
Well, obviously you have your backs up against the wall, but
can they get in first?
I
expect the worst. Yeah, they got to win next week.
I will say this. You know, back when the last time the Jets were in the playoffs, their last regular season meeting against the Patriots, they got smoked 45-3. They went into New England in the playoffs, the divisional round, when everyone said they had no shot.
The Patriots were 14-2 that year.
Patriots were 14-2 that year, and the Jets beat them pretty good. So, again, anything can happen once you get into the playoffs. It's a matter, Alex, you got to get in. And the Jets needed this win as their next step to get into the playoffs, and they got the biggest part of today was the Ravens beating the Steelers, and now the Jets have their destiny in their own hands. A win, and they're in, which is bigger than any victory the Jets could have had today with the Steelers winning. The Jets needed one of those teams to lose. They got the Steelers to lose, and now the Jets are in the position they want to be in going into Week 17. Win and in. And we remember the last time the Jets were winning in. You said it a second ago, Jake. They beat the Bengals, and then they went to Cincinnati the next week and beat them again. So anything can happen. You got to get in. But like we said before, it sets up a heck of a Week 17 showdown. Rex against his former team trying to play the spoiler. It really sets up a great matchup.
And thanks for the call, Alex. I really
appreciate
it.
The call.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
And that game might be Sunday Night Football on next Sunday night. You know, Jets Bills, Rex against the Jets, Sunday Night Football next week. And listen, as a Jet fan, you wouldn't have it any other way. Winning their end, and obviously, what a win for the Jets today at MetLife Stadium against the arch rival New England Patriots. We're going to take a break, though, right here on Sports Talk 1240. Our number to call is 631-888-8811. We'll go back to the Jets and the Patriots and go around the league right after these words.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240 and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pasteria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines. Also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppasteria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Back here on Sports Talk 1240, Dan Budick alongside Jake Asman. The number to call is 631-888-8811. We just talked about the Jets beating the Patriots 26-20 in overtime. They improved to 10-5 and set up, like we said, a Week 17 battle with the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo next week. And if the Jets win, they will advance to the postseason for the first time since the 2010-2011 season. Currently one game in action, obviously Sunday Night Football in the second quarter, 8:22 to go. Vikings over the Giants 10-3. That game means nothing. With the Redskins winning last night, they take the NFC East crown, eliminating the Giants. And for the Minnesota Vikings, they're just playing for seeding right now. They could possibly win the division. Obviously, the Packers lost today. We got smoked today.
Got killed.
They played awful today.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers' offensive line, he would have just been better off having turnstiles.
Talk about uncharacteristic. I mean, they were just terrible today offensively. Rodgers didn't make good decisions in the pocket. He had no time to throw. It was just really a disaster for the Green Bay Packers. And how often do we say that? A disaster for the Green Bay Packers. But that's what it was today. And now at 10-5, you know, they could very well be a wild card team and Minnesota could win that division.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. That was surprising to see. The other thing I saw that I couldn't believe was that Cleveland and Kansas City, that was actually a game for a lot of it. I don't know how much you got to see watching the Jet game.
So a little bit.
I was at a sports
bar. On the
old
Red Zone.
Yes, you know, so I had, you know, the TV on trying to watch all the games at once following the Jets playoff scenarios very closely. You know, Manziel, they were down in this game 17-3. They came back and made it close. They just ran out of time. You know, they ran out of time there. They had an opportunity at the end, but they couldn't get it done. And thank God, somehow, some way, the 10.5-point underdog Baltimore Ravens, they were able to get it done. And it sets themselves up now. We've been saying it the whole show. Jets win next week against the Bills, and they're in. And we joked earlier on Twitter, for those who follow us, at Jay Gasman, at Dan Budick, you know, will Jets-Bills reflect the Sunday Night Football? The rumbling is that it probably will, so we'll wait and see on that. Obviously, a lot to go into that. My only question...
I saw something on Twitter saying they don't want to do it because they want...
Because of Pittsburgh at the same time.
They want it to be the same time.
I saw that too, but then I saw something very recently from Bob Costas' limo driver. Someone tweeted
really?
That. Yeah, that
should be flexed. Ridiculous.
The buzz is... Jets Bills, so we'll see.
I mean, it should be flexed. The Jets are winning in. I remember when the Jets played the Bengals and were winning in 2009, 2010 season, that got flexed to a Sunday night game. It should be flexed. It's probably the best game that's going to happen next
week.
Well,
the only reason why they wouldn't flex it is if Pittsburgh loses to Cleveland, you know, let's say the game's at 1 o'clock.
Then it means nothing.
You know, then the Jets are automatically in the playoffs. Even if they lose to the Bills,
yeah,
they could rest some starters. You know, they could take it easy in that game. It becomes a bye week almost for the Jets. So we'll see.
So wouldn't it make more sense to flex the Steeler game?
Well, because the Steelers, the game might not mean anything if the Jets win.
They're in a tricky situation.
Which means, you know, they might try and flex Green Bay, Minnesota. Is that for the division? Is that the game next week? Who's Green Bay playing next week? Aren't they playing Minnesota? Look that up right now.
I think they are, yeah. They have one, yeah.
So is that for the division?
Well,
the Vikings win tonight.
If the Vikings win tonight, if the Vikings win tonight, they'll be 10-5. The Packers are 10-5. So yeah, it would be for the division.
But the loser
wins the wild card.
So yeah, so it doesn't mean as much.
It doesn't mean as much because it's not like you're talking about the NFC East.
And you're also not fighting for a bye either. It's not like
exactly.
So that's why the argument is to go with the Jets winning their end.
Well, yeah, because the thing is, both these teams next week, the Packers and the Vikings, are going to be playing in wild card weekend because of the fact that you're talking about a 3.
But does NBC want to gamble Pittsburgh losing and then the Jets playing for nothing back-to-back weeks, Sunday Night Football? You have the Giants and Vikings game going on right now.
There's a risk.
It's like gambling. You're going to have to decide what they think gives them the best odds for better ratings.
I was shocked they didn't flex the Jets and the Patriots today. That wasn't flexed a couple weeks ago, that they decided to flex the Giants and the Vikings.
I didn't understand it from the start.
It didn't make sense because you knew Patriots-Jets is always a good game for the most part, besides twice
even
in my
life. Jets are bad.
It's always a nice game. Remember last year the Jets took them to the final possession
and
got the field goal blocked? Yeah, both games the Jets were in positions to win, and the Jets won 4 games last year. So I was surprised with a playoff spot on the line for the Jets and the Patriots trying to claim that a number one seed in the AFC, why you wouldn't flex that game to Sunday night and why you would flex Giants-Minnesota, which ends up really meaning nothing for it means more for Minnesota. It means nothing for the Giants because the last night they were eliminated.
It's tough with the NFL. They're going to have to make a decision. And they're going to have to make it fast. They'll make the decision by tomorrow after Monday Night Football between the Bengals and the Denver Broncos, which is, I thought going into that game, if the Jets won today, we'd be having a root big time for the Bengals. You still root for the Bengals because it will help the Jets in case they do lose next week. But, now it's no longer life or death for the Jets. They win and they're in. That's what happens when the Ravens were able to stun the Pittsburgh Steelers today, something that none of us thought was possible.
Going back to the phone lines, Elwood is joining us, and I can only guess he wants to talk about the Indianapolis Colts. Elwood, what's going on?
Yeah, the Colts won today, Elwood.
Oh, guys, great game. Hey, before we get to the Colts game, though, you'll get a kick out of this. I was at the big Colts bar. Every TV's on the Colts. We're all watching Colts in full Colts mode. And there must have been one, random Jets fan, and they're checking it on his phone or something. But all I hear in the back of the bar is, oh, geez, they just Steve Harvey'd that coin toss. What? I just went back to the game, and I get it now. That's kind of funny. But, that was he must have been the one lone fan. But, hey, guys, great game today. I'm so pumped. The backups, backup, won it.
Charlie Whitehurst,
yeah.
I mean, the Dolphins are awful, Elwood.
I know they are, but come on, guys. We're talking about the backups.
Well, what's the scenario for the Colts now? They're 7-8. I saw Houston won today.
They're still in the running. They're not out. This kept us afloat. So, I don't know. I mean, they will not say when Andrew Luck's coming back. And now they said the shoulder injury for Hasselbeck's iffy. He's never hurt this one before. They don't know. They're going to know more Wednesday when he goes to practice.
Elwood, let me ask you something. Do you know, say the Colts win next week and the Texans lose, both teams would be 8-8. Who would have – tiebreaker scenario.
They split the regular season.
Because they split the regular season. I don't know the tiebreaker scenario for the Colts. Would the Colts then be win the AFC South, or would it be the Texans because of the tiebreakers?
I think it's the Colts. I think the way I'm understanding it is if the Colts keep winning, they're set up. So I don't know because the Colts did really well in the beginning. That's, so – I don't know. They beat the Texans. So
Houston has the Jaguars next week. Who do the Colts have?
I don't know. I forgot to look. Isn't that terrible? But
I'll tell you right now, the Colts.
Yeah, look.
Colts
I don't
have the Titans.
Where I would.
So you look at probably wins for both teams.
Both teams should win.
So if it's wins for both teams, then the Texans will win the division.
But if the Texans lose and the Colts win, I don't know at 8-8 who gets the tiebreaker.
I'm not sure.
I saw something on Twitter.
Scenario.
Yeah,
it's a whole scenario with other teams because then it goes to common opponents and some other teams have to lose.
It's
mumbo jumbo. The problem with the Colts is they waited too long, to put wins together.
Agree. It's not. This is like keeping your head afloat, keeping your head above water. That's why I say if we lose and we're out of contention, just let Andrew Luck rest. Let him get back to 100% and do better in the draft.
Yeah, but now with one game left, you don't have a choice. You got to win and just hope for it. And then you either go to the playoffs or you don't.
If we can get to the playoffs by some miracle, then Luck can come back fresh and it's, lookout world.
Either way, even I think if they make the playoffs, It's been a very disappointing season.
Oh, it's been terrible
for the Colts.
Yes,
I mean, you talk about a team that was supposed to be a juggernaut in the AFC, and here they sit at 7-8 going into Week 17.
With Andrew, I mean, we would have been a juggernaut. I mean, it's a good team. I mean, Matt.
Well, you know what? I think obviously, but even when Andrew early in the season, he wasn't playing well. The offensive line stinks,
well,
and the secondary's not very good.
They had to do some shuffling in house. I mean, some of those, you know, horrible calls and. I mean, they had a miscommunication, and there was like a textbook terrible. I mean, you know, I mean, come on, we lost to the Patriots. I mean, there were teams there that, but then they went in and like smoked the Broncos, and the Broncos, you know, beat the Patriots. It was just head banging. You know.
So
it was frustrating.
I would say they missed the playoffs. Is this the end of Greason and Pagano? Is there a new head coach and general manager coming into Indianapolis next year?
You know what? The vultures are circling fast on Pagano, and nobody likes him, and nobody can get over the fact that Pagano gets cancer, goes away, a different coach comes in, some guy from – which this isn't truly fair because Arians actually is talented, but they start winning. Then he comes back, and they don't do so well. So, yeah, I think he better be brushing up his resume if he doesn't.
But what about Greason? I mean, I feel like the real story is that he didn't attack and take care of the big needs on this football team.
Yeah,
the offensive line.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Do you want to hear the Colts playoff scenarios? They need 10 games to go their way, and they're not making the playoffs. Listen to this. The Colts are eliminated from the playoffs if Cincinnati beats Denver on Monday night.
How is that? How?
It's because it comes back to common opponents and all this stuff.
I mean, I'm phrasing this carefully. I mean, they're still in the running. But
the Colts bat to beat Tennessee. Houston has to lose to Jacksonville. Miami has to beat New England. Denver has to beat San Diego. Atlanta has to beat New Orleans. Cincinnati has to then beat Baltimore next week. The Jets have to lose to the Bills. Kansas City has to lose to Oakland. Pittsburgh has to beat Cleveland. They need 10 games to go their way to get into the playoffs. They're not going to the playoffs as long as the Houston Texans just win next week.
They can beat Tennessee. They're horrible. And, I mean, like I said.
Oh, they'll probably beat Tennessee. I mean, Zach Mettenberger's playing quarterback.
Right.
He was awful today.
Awful. That's why I said that was, today at the bar, all of a sudden people were checking their phones and the blurbs on TV. They said, what about Peyton? And then that erupted. And somebody said, well, it's a good thing. Tennessee stinks. Now we'll be able to buy them. You know, that's the big rumor here that Peyton will buy that team. You know, so
yeah, right.
Don't say that here. They'll punch you. Peyton's going to buy them, and he's going to move there. And blah blah.
But you know, the thing, just going back to Greason real quick.
Oh yeah,
I just look at the Colts, Elwood, and I say, what could have been if Greason just attacked some of the needs. You know, not at the skill position. I think if they went after a corner or safety, a linebacker in the draft, maybe address the offensive line a little more and give Andrew Luck a little protection in the pocket, you know, you're not talking about a lacerated kidney for Andrew Luck. I mean, I feel like every time we look at Andrew, he's on his rear end. He's getting hit to the ground more than anyone.
Trust me, I've heard it more than once. He's got to go. I just think all the big guns are on the coach. But I think once they're rid of him, then they're going to turn to him. But, you know, I never thought he was the big – he came in with so much fanfare, you know. Oh man, he's great. I was like, no, he's not. I mean, I like the guy. I've actually met him a couple times at training camp. He seems like a really cool guy. I mean, there was a guy in training camp in a Steelers jersey, and Grixon came out and said, "Hey, you, come here." And he had a new Colts jersey. He said, "Why don't you trade with me?" And the guy gave him the Steelers jersey, and he gave him the Colts jersey and threw the Steelers jersey away. So, I mean, I liked him from that point on. But yeah, I think. He's probably going to bite the dust. I think you're going to see some serious house cleaning. Not like when Peyton left, but yeah, but I think they need it. This is a good team. They got some talented people. I mean, come on now. We got a 40-year-old quarterback and a 42-year-old kicker, and we were winning games. So.
Elwood, thanks for the call as always.
No problem.
Appreciate it. Elwood checking in out from Indianapolis.
They're not making the playoffs.
Well, no. It's just a shame they couldn't, you know, scratch out one more victory.
Well, yeah, I was looking into it. I'm looking at the scenario, and it's like, 10 things have to go. I'm like, 10? The 10 things are not going right for the Indianapolis Colts. Meanwhile, Miami's got to play New England next week.
They're going to get
smoked. That's one of the things that needs to happen. Miami needs to beat the Patriots if they want to get into the
playoffs. And I'm sure the Patriots won't lose next week.
Yeah, they won't. So they're going to win and clinch the one seed.
Yeah. Just because of the fact I can't see them losing in any scenario. They're still playing for the one seed.
By the way, Eli Manning just threw a pick six. Giants are now down 17-3.
17-3 now the Giants are down.
Brutal. Brutal.
I mean, we said this, and this is why, you know, we said this. After we found out Odell Beckham Jr. suspension was going to stand and he was not going to play tonight, this game really had no appeal to me because the Giants are playing for nothing after last night the Redskins winning. The Giants' best player when you talk about making plays and making things happen on the field, it's not even there. So there's no appeal for watching this game, and it's tough to see the Giants coming out with a win. What is, you said
16-3, sorry. 16-3. Either way, I mean, the Giants are not winning without OBJ.
They have no, they're not.
Not a chance.
They could barely win with OBJ. Yeah. That's how bad the Giants are.
I mean, OBJ
are.
Would go for 150 yards, 8 catches, and a touchdown every game. It wouldn't matter. They'd still lose. I mean, look, against the perfect example was against the Jets. OBJ got his numbers, but the Jets still came back down 10 in the fourth quarter and at the time kept their season alive as well. So, I mean, hey, you win some, you lose some if you're a Giants fan, but they're going to be faced with a real decision this offseason with Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese.
Well, that's the other thing is what happens with the Giants now that they missed the playoffs, now that it's a reality. They're not going to the playoffs this season. They're eliminated from contention with Washington's win and crowned NFC East champion last night in their win over the Philadelphia Eagles. What do the Giants do? In my opinion, I think Jerry Reese has to go. Because obviously I think then Coughlin goes, but I think it has to start with Reese. I think he has done a horrendous job the last 3 years.
I think it's time for
together.
A change if you're a Giant fan. We've seen that 4 years of not making the playoffs. How do you keep the general manager and then fire the head coach? See, there's some people out there that say, you know what, let's fire Coughlin, but Jerry Reese should be back. You can't keep Jerry Reese.
But I think if there's any argument, it should be the other way around. I think if I were to bring back one of them, I'd bring back Coughlin.
Of course.
Reese has really done a terrible job.
Well,
the last
if anyone should
years.
Be fired, you're right. It should be Jerry Reese. The problem for the Giants
is both guys are going to go.
You're not going to fire the general manager and keep the coach. It's just not how things work outside of what the Jets did with Isaac and Rex Ryan, and we saw how that worked out. It was a disaster by the end of it, obviously. So if you're a Giant fan, listen, you had an unbelievable run with Tom Coughlin. I don't think they'll fire him. I think they'll ask him to resign, or he'll resign on his own, whatever. The bottom line is, if you're a Giant fan, you know, this is now 4 straight years of not making the playoffs. You're 6-8. You're probably going to lose tonight. The drop is 6-9. You're going to have back-to-back 6-7-win seasons. You know, if you're a Giant fan, when is enough enough? When do you clean house and start over? And you're right. If you're going to fire anyone, you fire Jerry Reese for the lack of talent on this roster.
It's abysmal.
But you gotta clean house.
No,
you can't fire one, not the other.
Both guys are gone. Both guys have to be gone. And it starts with Jerry Reese. He has done such a bad job putting this team together, especially the phases that you talk about. You talk about the defensive secondary and the offensive line. The offensive line has played a lot better than people thought this year. It has been great. It's been decent. It's been adequate. You can live with it. The defensive secondary for the New York Football Giants is the worst I've ever seen on a professional football team. It's horrendous.
Terrible.
They have one, maybe two guys on their entire defense in the secondary that would start on an NFL team. You talk about Rodgers, Cromartie, and maybe Prince Amukamara. Outside of those two guys, there is not a single player on the Giants defensive. Really, their defense that would start on another football team. That's how bad they are. Their best pass rusher has one arm.
Well, how about the immortal Craig Dahl making plays for the
Landon
Giants?
Landon Collins. I mean, the Giants have a terrible. Forget about the take away the mistakes in the fourth quarter, the bad coaching at the end of games, which obviously Coughlin is accountable.
The greatness
be accountable
of Nikita
for.
Whitlock.
You know. Put the woulda, shoulda, coulda games. There's a lot of them for the Giants this year. Put those aside. The talent on the defense is where Jerry Reese just should be fired. It feels like he neglected an entire side of the ball.
Also, one thing, too, about Jerry Reese, the argument's always, oh, he drafted Odell Beckham Jr., you can't fire him. One pick doesn't justify keeping your job when you look at the rest of the talent on the roster. Perfect example, John Isaac, as bad as he was as the Jets GM,
I don't want to hear about the Odell Beckham Jr. pick with Jerry Reese. They needed a receiver. He was the best receiver on the board. A lot of teams were trying to trade up, and the Giants took him. Jerry Reese admitted not that long ago on WFAN in New York, here in New York, that if Sammy Watkins was on the board, he would have taken Sammy Watkins. So I don't want to hear about Odell Beckham Jr. and how great of a pick it was by Jerry Reese. Anyone in that spot would have taken him. He was a highly touted receiver and taken in the top 10. You know, it wasn't like he was picked in the 7th round or the 6th round. He was a first round draft pick. I don't want to. People are praising Jerry Reese that he drafted Odell Beckham Jr. like he was drafted 199th overall, like Tom Brady.
Like it was Tom Brady.
Like, come on, he's a great player. He's the best receiver in football. But I don't want to give all the credit in the world to Jerry Reese that he picked him at 8 overall. Come on.
once again, one pick doesn't justify
or 12,
keeping
wherever
job.
They pick them.
If they fire Coughlin and keep Jerry Reese, I think it's
wrong.
Well,
it makes no sense.
And also, this argument, well, Jerry Reese never he's never going to get a chance to pick his own coach.
Oh, he doesn't deserve
That's
it.
That's nonsense.
They won a Super Bowl.
They won two Super Bowls together. If you want to get credit for being linked with Tom Coughlin
well,
for those two Super Bowls,
well,
you got to be linked
well,
with him when you have four straight non-playoff years.
The thing why when I say Jerry Reese has won two, the first one was, that was really a Corsi team.
But Reese did a nice job.
Reese did a nice job, yes. Reese filled in some of the pieces. And did a nice job. And I, you know, we gave credit back in 2011 to Reese, you know, when he picked up a Jake Ballard, you know, when the Giants were able to fill those needs and picked up the guys late in the season
draft
defensively.
Draft
JPP and put together a team along with OC Umanure and Justin Tuck that were already there that on the defensive side of the ball would be good enough to, and Eli Manning good enough to bring the Giants another Super Bowl championship. We gave Jerry Reese the credit, but where credit, you know, comes criticism when the team is now, after tonight, going to be 6-9 and missing the playoffs once again, and their defense is the worst in football. It comes to a point where you can't tolerate it anymore, and for the Giants, a change needs to be made. I can't see Jerry Reese keeping his job. I can't. How can he keep his job? Nice guy, done great things with the Giants, two Super Bowl championships, but the team he put out on the field this year was putrid.
Well, then you get to the argument, do you keep Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese because you don't want to fire Tom Coughlin off the season? But my point, when is enough enough?
That's the thing. It's like you give it's the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the doubt. Coughlin, listen, I give Coughlin a little bit of a longer leash in general because he's the coach. They won two Super Bowls, and this team isn't talented. But at the same time, he's been coaching the team for a long time. He's up there in age.
Sometimes you just need
a change.
It's
time for a
change. We saw it with the Jets last year.
But it starts at the general manager position. Both guys have to go. I think it starts with Reese. Jerry Reese has to be fired. You can't tolerate – it's one thing to lose, but when you're as bad and when you have no talent – I mean, they have no talent on the defensive side of the ball. It's embarrassing that their defense is so bad. They cannot get a big stop. They haven't been able to get a big stop all year. Not once. Not once have the New York Football Giants been able to get off the field on third down or get a big stop. They haven't been able to do it. And when they have, they've let it fall through their fingers. They're just not a good football team. And I think Jerry Reese, I think this is going to be it for him. I can't see him lasting past this year. I can't.
I don't know how you can bring him back. I really don't. 631-888-8811. Once again, the number to call is 631-888-8811. Let's go out to Jason. Jason, you're on the line right here on Sports Talk 1240. Jason, what's going on?
Guys, thanks for taking my call. And I'm sure you touched on it earlier. Probably did anyway. I wanted to know if you think the Redskins are any chance of making any noise, because Kirk Cousins looked pretty good yesterday, albeit against a bad Eagles defense, but he looked pretty good yesterday, three touchdowns.
Well, you know, do I think they're going to make noise? I don't know about that. I just think the NFC's, you know, I just think there's a lot of teams that are a lot better than the Redskins. But I'll tell you what, they found a quarterback for the foreseeable future, if not the long-term future. I think Kirk Cousins, over the last 2 months in – you know, situations where his team has needed him the most, he's played extraordinary football.
Let's give Jay Gruden a lot of credit. He stuck with
Absolutely.
Kirk Cousins, didn't go back to RG3 when things are going
saying,
bad.
You know, go back to your number two overall pick.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins was tremendous this season. He was great last night, you know, outside of the old, you know, I'm going to, you know, take a knee instead of spiking the football at the end of the first half last night. He was tremendous. I don't know if the Redskins are going to, you know, make noise as you said right there, Jason, but I'll tell you what, they're going to get a home playoff game. It's probably going to be Seattle. Seattle just lost to the Rams at home today. Anything's possible once you're in. I wouldn't pick the Redskins to go far in the playoffs, but stranger things have happened. But I think at the end of the day, if you're a Redskins fan and you same thing with the Jets, you know, you're going to be told you're going to win the division. I don't care how bad it was. You're going to be in the playoffs after everything that happened with RG3, the turmoil that surrounded this organization year after year. Hey, they're right there. They're back into the playoffs. They won the division. And, Dan, I think you make a great point. They found a quarterback for at least the next couple seasons. They're going to ride with Kirk Cousins, and they should. He earned himself a nice contract extension this offseason.
Absolutely, and he's hitting, you know, like Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Jets, he's hitting free agency at the right time. He's having the best year of his career. And just really, I think over the last five games, 20 touchdown passes to three interceptions. He's completing 63% of his passes.
What, he had like four touchdowns?
Yeah, he was unbelievable. And I think just he's gotten a lot better. And remember how bad Kirk Cousins was last year and at the beginning of this season? I mean,
against the Jets, he was awful.
I mean, do you remember we were saying, you know, he had no value. He had no value if a team won the trade for him. There was really just – he was awful. He was so bad. The Jets smoked the Redskins earlier in the season. He was so bad. And to his credit, he's turned his career and season around. And led the Washington Redskins to a National Football League Conference Eastern Division Championship.
Pretty
unbelievable. It's pretty unbelievable. It's amazing.
Jason, you still there or that's it?
I just, you know, the Redskins, and we see it in the AFC too, with teams that aren't very good. We see the Houston Texans are going to win the AFC South, and teams like the Jets and the Steelers, you know, depending on how that works out, have a better record. Do you see that dynamic changing anytime soon with the division winner not necessarily getting in the playoffs?
The only thing I could see the NFL doing, and thanks for the call, Jason, you bring up a good point right here. The only thing I think the NFL would do is if they're in a situation where they say no longer, just like what the NBA did, winning the division doesn't guarantee you a home game. I don't think they're going to change it where if you win the division but you have a worse record than some of the wild card teams, you know, you're not going to be a playoff team. I don't think they're going to do that. I could see them doing what the NBA did where if you're a team like the Houston Texans or the Colts, whoever ends up winning that division looks like it's going to be the Texans. You know, at 8-8, if you're playing a wild card team that's 11-5 like the Jets, you may not get your home game. I could see the NFL doing that. We saw Carolina last year finish with a 7-8-1 record, whatever it ended up being last year. They went to the playoffs and hosted a playoff game. I could see the NFL making changes there. I don't think they're going to make a change where they say if you win the division but you have a bad record, you're not guaranteed a playoff spot. That's the only change I think they'd make. I still think they could reward teams for winning their division.
I think you should be rewarded if you win the division with a home playoff game. I just think you deserve it. And Jason, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Last couple minutes in the show, really just spreading out the fact one more week in the NFL season. You got a lot of playoff scenarios to go. We talked with Elwood talking about the Colts a little bit, and obviously the Jets win and in. They got the help from the Baltimore Ravens defeating the Pittsburgh Steelers today. No one thought that would happen, and the Jets get a little bit of a late Christmas gift from the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, the Giants, we talked about the Giants as well. They're currently losing. If you're listening to us, not watching the game, 16-3, minute 20 to go in the first half up in Minnesota. Sunday Night Football with a doozy tonight. Dan Allen, Chris Best on the TV.
Oh,
you know, they're not calling the greatest games right now.
That's what the NFL decided to flex. The Vikings and the Giants.
Could have been John Patriots flex. Playing right now.
It could have been, but it's not.
Instead, it's the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Giants. But as Jet fans, the Jets took care of their business earlier. They won 26-20 in overtime. My voice is cracked a couple times on the show tonight. Needed to drink a ton of water. Thanks for sticking with me. Dan, I know it was a
great time. Great Jet win, and always a pleasure being here on Sports Talk 1240.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. Thank you to Sports Director Rob Kowal. Thank you to our engineer, Brian Graves, behind the glass, putting us over the airways, pressing all the right buttons. Dan, it was a lot of fun. And the Jets are in next week. Get their 11th win, and they're going back to the playoffs. How sweet it is.
It's very sweet. Hopefully they get the job done.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Thanks for tuning in.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year as well. This has been Sports Talk for Dan Butik. I'm Jake Asman, saying so long, everybody.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.